Are you on season two of Ted Lasso, or are you still working?
No, we haven't. We don't have the program.
Oh, you have. Enjoy whenever you do start watching it. It's so lovely. All right. So,
how do we do this?
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's been so long.
Uh-huh. Stop.
All right. I know we're actually releasing it now as a podcast.
It's been so long.
I need to make sure. You were just dropping out. I wanted to say it for your sake since you're editing.
Thank you.
We could always Craig this too. I just started doing that with our show.
Just because we're releasing it now doesn't mean we have to start giving any more of a shit.
Oh, good. Okay. Cool.
All right. Here we go.
Da, da, da!
Edith Bunker.
Those were the days.
Those were the ever ones.
It's 10:45 and we're only now starting to record the episode. So let's get started. Welcome to Everyone Never Wouldn't, the podcast where I, Adam Lover, make my friends
Eric and KT.
And occasionally,
Jerome.
Yes, correct.
Jerome's first record session with us as my ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. To discuss with me the first and now also the second season of the hit early 2000s WB teen/family drama Everwood. Tonight's episode, season 2, episode 10. It has been 2 months since we watched, and I told KT and Eric that they would have to guess the title of the episode because they certainly don't remember when I told them the last time.
It's some holiday thing.
Oh.
What would you call this episode?
The worst episode.
Oh, come on.
Episode 10, the worst episode. Eric,
Wait a second.
Let me turn off this alarm. It's my medication alarm.
You'll be sorry.
Season 2, episode 10, you'll be sorry. Well, it is actually called Season 2, episode 10, Unhappy Holidays. Written by John E. Poe.
That's pretty close. You'll be sorry and Unhappy Holidays. That's pretty close.
Directed by Jason Moore. Original air date, November 24th, 2003. Official episode description from the DVD booklet. On Thanksgiving, families gather together, but they sure don't stay that way. Secrets are revealed.
What?
Tempers flare, and the Brown and Abbott households fly apart before you can say white meat or dark.
What?
So much fun with these fucking episode descriptions. It kills me. All right. Welcome. We are recording this Thanksgiving episode of Everwood Never Wouldn't on August 15th, 2021. Mm-hmm. The last time we recorded was quite a while ago. This is Jerome's first time joining us for a season two episode. Some interesting resonance of like across time and space right now is that I'm currently editing season one's Thanksgiving episode to release tomorrow on August 16th.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first episode that Jerome ever joined us for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm editing that. It's an episode where I'm hopping on and I'm like, welcome to my boyfriend, Jerome. Mm-hmm. And we're making jokes about, like, It's a Wonderful Life and how, like, this is the episode where I break up with Jerome. And then, so it's just funny that
we are now
broken up and we're recording a Thanksgiving episode.
Boy, A Wonderful Life was, like, certainly a moment in time for us.
Yeah.
I know.
The beginning of the end.
This is the epic story that I even referred to when we talked about this just the other day, Adam.
In that podcast episode, like, it comes up, and I say, like, I do not think Jerome will be watching It's Wonderful Life with me. But then I'm like, I'll make him watch it with me. KT, you're like, aw, you're like, I think it's adorable.
Yeah.
Nope.
Anyway.
Didn't hate it.
No, fuck it.
No, of course. I Fuck hated it. The Beavis and Butthead parody episode.
We shall never talk about it again. Stop talking.
All right. Well, anyway, it is so late. And
you're going to keep saying that every 2 minutes, just so you know. It is so late. Let's keep going.
Let's get over with today. The sponsor of tonight's episode is crystal meth. Do you want to light fire to your high school? Do some crystal meth first. It'll help. All right, that's a episode sponsor.
Awesome.
Prattling on.
We don't do that anymore.
Do we?
Oh, wait. Yeah,
Chris Pratt sucks and hasn't said anything about anything ever. The end. He still sucks.
That's a really good point. We don't do Prattling On anymore. We do Treats Tweets.
Yeah.
We'll do that later. Unless we want to do it now. Okay. Treats Tweets.
Treat finished filming season 5 of Chesapeake Shores in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. He flew back home.
Okay, this has been Treats Tweets.
He went to Baltimore and filmed something for HBO. I don't remember what it is. He's back home again.
Tweet.
You have to do that in this microphone.
Yeah, send it into Eric's microphone.
The episode, okay? All right. Should we go in chronological order of my notes, or should we just fucking talk about it?
You asked that like there's a choice.
I mean,
there's no choice. Let's do it. I'm just talking about holidays, age-old rituals. It's a time for surprises.
Ugh, I hate fucking tradition as a human.
I thought you were. Concept. I just turned to you because I was so sad.
High fucking five, buddy.
Fuck it.
Yes, I absolutely.
Fucking yes, stupid.
I agree. But what I thought you were saying was that you hate holiday episodes, and I was really, really sad because note said I love Christmas holiday episodes.
Christmas episodes are great.
I love them. That was my initial reaction seeing Treat Williams go through the door in the Hanukkah wrapping paper and him talking to himself all cheerfully about finding Hanukkah wrapping paper in Everwood of all places. And I was like, my heart literally like went up into my throat because I love Christmas so much and I love the holidays so much. Like, I was so excited about this episode, and that's why it is so fucking extra disappointing that it just turned out the way it did.
Yeah, because like an Everwood Christmas episode. This is, to be fair, it's not really Christmas Hanukkah episode. It's the Thanksgiving episode.
It's holidays. It's fine. It's all holiday. It's all the same feeling of like, yes.
I gotta say this. Overall, like just a general feeling, like this is like, of all the ones we've seen, I feel like it's the one where I've like, this episode was designed to be watched where you sit down at your TV at the right time on the right day and watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. It's like, I need to be there from 9 to 9:56 or whatever.
Because it's Thanksgiving?
In my recliner. I don't know what it is. It's just like, it felt like a very...
It's classic. Certainly not an August 15th, 2021 at 10 p.m.
No, of course not.
Right. No.
Let's talk about how Ephraim and Madison are celebrating the holidays by making out. Jerome's face joining here at like episode
Oh god, yeah, jumping right in.
He made the best face. He was like, oh my, you were scandalized.
Yeah. Well, also I've learned about myself that PDA and anytime anybody else is happy,
you were responding to
you're a huge prude.
You didn't even know how old she was. You were just like, ooh, PDA, you're happy.
She was a babysitter, but woof.
Jerome's like missionary only.
They were talking about it, tongues and
tongue
and
curls,
stuff.
Tongue
yes,
curling.
Yes, I was like, whoa! Remember?
It was wild. Ephraim is bad-mouthing his dad while his dad, Andy Brown, a doctor who has moved to New York after his wife died.
To New York?
Moved from New York.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
I was confused for a second there.
I spoiled season 3 in which Andy
What have you
back.
Been drinking, Adam?
Just a bunch of red wine. Andy is hiding in the closet because he's hiding gifts.
Uh-huh.
And he hears Ephraim bad-mouthing him as well as like making out with the babysitter. And so he freaks out. He breaks out of the closet and freaks out and yells
And it was
at them.
A wonderful Freak, moment. Oh my God. No, the part where, I wouldn't agree that the whole scene was great because there was some really bad Treat Williams acting at one point, or at least direction. Yes. Oh, I will tell you. I will be specific.
We don't have time for specifics.
Okay, all right. Well, besides that, because I got to go over that too. But before that, when he was stuck in the fucking closet, was a Lewis Tully fucking moment. But when they said that he's so cool and then he couldn't get out the door, it was so fucking funny. That was such a great moment.
That's great.
But then the shitty moment was the part where when the gifts fell down, right? So he's angry, right? They just had this crazy exchange. He's shocked. He's angry. He's very upset. He's obviously yelling.
Being raped.
The gifts fall down behind him, and he did such a comedy stage, theater reaction. He completely broke from the angry, was casually surprised, turned around to look at the gifts, turned back around, and then switched to an angry face. It was the weirdest fucking progression of...
I blame the director for that. Okay. Jason Moore, you misdirected.
Right.
Andy Brown, this is not supposed to be some fucking farcical sitcom, Jason Moore.
Come on, Jay Moore!
More like Jay Less.
Yeah. You should... Right. You should suicide like Suicide Kings, Jay Moore.
What?
Jay Moore was
in it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Suicide Kings was a movie, and I think Jay Moore was in it.
I'll take your word on it.
Who cool. sounds like Jason Moore, the director
Andy
of this episode.
Andy doesn't want Delia to suffer because of firing Madison, so that's why he doesn't fire Madison right away. Meanwhile, we've got a guest star in the episode. We've got Betty White.
And her husband.
Holy crap.
And the husband
triggered
is,
much?
The husband is from Seinfeld.
Oh,
he's been from a ton of shit. That
yeah, I
great.
Couldn't recognize him.
He's good.
Is Herb? Is it Alpert? Something?
Alpert. I'm pretty sure
you don't
it's
have time for
Alpert.
This old man.
I do. It's my favorite part of this episode.
He's the only voice of reason in the entire episode.
Uh huh.
And Rose.
Wait, who's Rose?
Rose Abbott.
Oh, the mother.
Harold's wife.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The mayor.
Yeah.
I always forget.
The mayor of Everwood.
I just think of, her as mayor.
Also, I think Amy was pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
In this episode, you're talking about a voice of reason.
Well,
I don't know.
Yes.
I think she was, everything she said was, but I'm jumping ahead.
No, the point is that she's really sick and it's really sad.
It is sad.
Does
but she
have
wasn't
reason?
Like unreasonable at all in this one.
Yeah. Is she only making these decisions because she's on antidepressants? Is that what they're trying to like?
I really hope not. I was worried about that earlier because there's this whole struggle where Dr. Abbott is like against antidepressants. He's like super against them and won't give them to Amy, and that's this whole drama.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Right? It's crazy.
Anyway,
oh
that's what really got me about the whole line of like, I don't even care anymore. I'm like, okay, careful.
Yes.
Okay, so the actor who plays Rose's father is Richard Hurd.
Yeah.
Alpert has nothing to do with it, but there is a character named Richard Alpert in Lost. So I guess I was thinking about that. I don't know what's going on in my brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, clearly we see from the beginning with the storyline of Rose's parents visiting from Arizona for Thanksgiving, Harold does not get along with Rose's mother.
Hates Betty White.
It's going to be a Harold versus the in-laws storyline. That's kind of fun.
At first didn't recognize Betty White, but then it was because I was looking at like, oh, it's just going to be some rando. I didn't actually realize it was going to be a reveal, but I was so excited when Betty White was playing a mean person. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Like I will admit that I'm not like extensively familiar with Betty White's history, but like most of what she does is comedy, right? So like, do you guys know of any other performances where she's playing such a bitch, like such an asshole?
I mean, her episode of Community, she plays a kind of like weird, like professor who doesn't give a shit about Jeff and is like about to kill him.
But it's still comedy. And in that show, everything is so surreal. It's like, it's so much of it is like, is this real? This is not in reality. It's so absurd.
It's like real passive aggressive.
Yeah. Like this genuine, like really mean delivery of lines and her fucking like, she did it so well. I was excited.
It made sense in that it was delivered in this way that was perceived as innocuous, but it was still skillful.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I still haven't ever seen her be like outright mean. You know what I mean? Like not passive.
You mean like a serial killer or something,
but
like a...
you know, someone who's cutting. She wasn't cutting, and
I've never seen her play like Alec Baldwin in a cooler.
Right.
Like I haven't seen Betty White like kick a pregnant woman.
I have.
Why haven't
but
we
I
seen
haven't
this?
Seen her act that.
Hashtag Betty White needs to kick a pregnant woman.
I've only seen the real Betty White.
Right, exactly.
I don't know why I just thought of Alec Baldwin in the cooler. Weird.
I don't even know. Is that from the 80s or something?
Always
what is
be
the
cooler.
Cooler. Always no, be cooler.
Always be cooler. Amy and Tommy are hanging out. Jerome gets line of the evening as viewer commentary when he said about Tommy, I don't like his eyebrows. He's got a villain's chin.
Yep. It was amazing.
It
amazing.
Looks like a vampire.
Yeah.
Has he been cast in those movies before?
I'm sure.
I don't know, but you're right. He has like the Robert Pattinson like square situation right here. And like the everything is like this. It's weird. They look different, but they look the same. Like the both of those people.
They were right to cast this person as somebody with like a dark past.
Yeah.
You know?
Because
he fits that build, like no matter what he's actually done in his real life, he looks like somebody who's lived.
I really wonder, like, is he a nice guy or is he somebody who's
Tommy?
The actor?
Yeah, the actor. Guys, what do you think? Because, like, could a man with that face be like just a genuinely nice, nerdy guy?
His dad is the brake pad king of Sandusky.
I know, so.
Future guest of the podcast, Paul Wesley. Are you nice?
Probably not.
He was in The Vampire Diaries. He was literally in The Vampire Diaries.
Yes! Good job, guys.
That was so great. Holy shit.
He's got a vampire face.
All right. So Edna catches Amy with Tommy and is all grandmotherly about it.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie is a young American Indian man, Native American Indian.
You have to say Indian, apparently.
Yeah, apparently call, just say Indian, apparently.
Indian. Indian young man who burned his foot practicing for the firewalk. On one hand, like, you know, interesting that in 2004, Eckwood was kind of giving an episode to... like and casting like, you know, Indian actors to play Indian parts about a storyline about like a reservation.
It is, I know, really, the bit is
you have to say Indian when it's everyone.
No, but actually, like, I literally just listened to an interview with like a Native American who said like just call us Indians.
Really?
So like it is a contested thing. Like I even like when I was working on engagement across difference research out in Colorado.
Yeah. Okay.
And analyzing like transcripts and recordings of like dialogues across difference.
Yeah.
Like I flagged like, oh, this person said Indians, Native American. And like, I brought it up in like a research meeting and like people were like, no, that's actually like, they like a lot of that community like prefers just say Indian.
Really?
So like, but like, wow. You know, but the Native American community is not a monolith. I'm
of
sure
course,
there's
right.
are.
Just
yeah.
like any community. Sure, sure.
But I guess feel more comfortable saying Native American. Anyway, I guess I'm just saying like...
You're coming from a place
indigenous?
Of more informed than...
Could you just say that? Indigenous people?
Americans,
the indigenous
maybe.
Person? Just because, you know what? This is the fun part about fucking making a podcast in this day and age. You're like, what? I know. I'm sure that something will change.
Sure.
It's inevitable. It's everything is changing so fast and so much.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of that, but it is literally impossible to try to be up to date on all the stuff the time.
Well, not to try, but it's impossible to actually.
Yeah, I mean, to actually accomplish that because like there are so many areas where people are trying to, you know, autism or people with autism, not autistic people, like, but some people
sexuality,
like different things.
All of it.
Every single thing.
Minority.
So like, we'll just say, we don't know what people prefer different terms and we respect that. And we hope that whatever we use doesn't offend anybody.
I feel comfortable saying Native American, but so like, it's really interesting watching this now when there've been like at least a couple of, you know, pretty successful shows recently from Native American writers and actors. So like Rutherford Falls, I think it is, on Peacock, the new Ed Helms show, is like predominantly like it's a story about, it's a whole season of television, and hopefully more, from a, like, created by the lead actress, who is a Native American woman.
I like it. I think he's the same Ted Lasso guy, right? Or are they just...
That's Jason Sudeikis.
I'm confusing my white men. Well, they're too similar, and it's around too similar at the same time. Because, like, I've watched the Rutherford Balls show, and I like it, but I keep thinking, I'm like, yeah, but you just did Ted Lasso, didn't you? So, my bad. And it's also a good show. And you
That's hilarious. And also, Jason Sudeikis is way better than Ed Helms. And then
wow.
The other one.
Wow, those are some strong words, actually.
Ed Helms is like so one note, it's ridiculous.
Jason Sudeikis is pretty one note, in my opinion. Yeah, I know, but you know what? Some of the shit I've heard about Jason Sudeikis is he's kind of a prick. So that's the other thing.
I have not heard that, but I guess it doesn't surprise me. Yeah. I heard him on an interview with Brené Brown, where he seemed perfectly like a very kind, thoughtful person. But
and
you know,
this is the end of the episode.
Yep. Civil War Part Two.
Civil War Part Two. The other show is this one on Hulu. This is the interview that I was listening to with the guy who created Reservation Dogs on Hulu. So it's interesting, kind of right in the context of, you know, seeing this awesome kind of emerging trend of like, let's fucking give jobs and allow like to Native American, you know, storytellers and have them tell their stories. And which is awesome. And then, but then watching this 2004 episode of Everwood where they basically use a storyline about Native American tradition and reservation practices around firewalking as a vehicle, basically in service of, we need to have a way to have Andy comfortable with his son dating a 20-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really doesn't feel great.
No.
Like, it feels really gross.
The funny part was that I actually, because of Andy's, I mean, I feel like often... I guess that's the whole point of the show is that he thinks he knows stuff, but then he doesn't. And he's learning the whole time. But like, I was honestly concerned because of the time the show came out that he would be successful in somehow telling these people to not do their traditional thing.
Yeah. I love having Edna like kind of laugh at him and be like, oh,
right.
You think you're going to try to like drag them into the modern age? Uh-huh. Like, okay, well, good luck with that.
Mr.
Chief
something.
Nosy pants.
I don't know. just get kind of uncomfortable.
It's just him being
right.
We know, wink.
But also let's make Native American chief naming traditions. Like I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Squatting Dog, Chevy Chase from Man of the House or whatever that movie was called.
Yep. Interesting, kind of. I don't think it's aged particularly well. And go watch Rutherford Falls and Reservation Dogs to support stories actually produced and created and told and acted in by Native American creative people. I have not seen Reservation Dogs, but Rutherford Falls is quite good. Ephraim, oh God, I don't want to talk about it. Ephraim and Matt. It's absurd. And I don't know, like, is this, am I missing, like, is this a product, is my discomfort around this a product of, like a cultural thing? Like, is it, like, I feel like probably in European countries, like, things might happen like this more, like, just more open, kind of, like, a father kind of being open to like his 16-year-old son, like dating a blank. Like,
if I was 16 and I brought home a 20-year-old woman, my dad would be like, so can I buy you a new car now? You want a new car? What do you want? Like,
right. That's how it intersects with like a homophobia. And...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, even if like me being gay wasn't on the table, he would just see that as like a sign of like, damn, son, you made it. Not only did you get like, a good looking girl, you got like an older woman.
Right. So there's that. There's that like kind of gross traditional
especially when the genders or whatever are in that it's that dynamic.
And then there's this like progress. There's this recurrent like moment of like just black and white, right? Of like
you have to draw a line like, somewhere, and
line, and if like any kind of. And so that's what I'm wondering about. Like, am I missing out on some kind of like?
I'll say something
past this progressivism, mm-hmm. where like,
right,
where like, well, actually, communicating openly about these things as a family,
yeah.
and like just being like, that's the healthy way to approach like gray situations,
right? Like is it law? You know, is it government's position to say that Ephraim cannot consent to this relationship?
And I only bring that up because like, because while watching this episode, I'm like so deeply uncomfortable and like, and just like, are you kidding? Like, is this a, like, is this coming from the same kind of US culture? Like that was just completely like blind to the dangers of this shit. Like the same, uh-huh. like the same country that basically like didn't care that, who's the guy who married the rapper?
Woody Allen? Oh, no.
The rapper.
R. Kelly
married like a 15-year-old. Like, yeah. is this just symptomatic of just that period of time? And like, mm-hmm. we're like good to have moved past
and then,
it.
Like, and Courtney Stoddard like, and whatever that politician was or whatever. Yeah.
What do you think, JT?
Well, I had a couple thoughts. One was that at the time or around that time, I actually dated a guy that was younger than me. I was in high school still, though. I think I started dating Elliot when I was a junior and I was 17. He was a freshman and he was 14. Okay. Then I turned 18 and I remember distinctly, so that would have been around 2000 or so. So even earlier than the show. And I distinctly, and maybe this is just me. I know that I've been a weirdo on this podcast multiple times, like with my feelings and takes on things, but I remember distinctly being like, it's weird that I'm 18 and like, this is technically statutory rape now, even though we started dating before that. Right. So that is like part of my personal history at the very same time that I dated somebody younger. But again, like I have said this on this fucking podcast before, there is an entire difference between somebody who has graduated from high school, besides the fact that they could be in college. She obviously isn't, or if she is, it's some kind of different schedule of college. So she's living a life as a grown-up. That is inappropriate. That person, especially, and now when I wrote one of the things down, I said, where is it? Where it said, I just gotta find it. Where is it? Oh, never had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that had specifically been stated or like, no. if I had just been sarcastic, like thinking that if Ephraim said something like that, it might've been sarcastic. Like, oh, I've never had a girlfriend. Like, or I had a girlfriend for like 2 weeks or something like that. This was a specific note in this fucking episode. He never had a girlfriend. The dad says it to the lady. The woman, the grown woman. You guys, this is not like this is what I'm saying. This episode, I've already decided I cannot even give higher than a 2 for watching this episode because the entire time, like, and I granted, back in those times in high school, in the late 90s, early 2000s, college time, like, there are things that I said. I was not as woke as I am now. And like, granted, I still have a long way to go, I'm sure. Like, obviously, you know this thing about calling Native Americans Indians. I didn't even know that. But my point is, like, what the fuck? Like, no. Like, it is inappropriate because this woman is a living... the life of a grown up, and this boy is not even a senior. He is a child, and he's never had a girlfriend. If she knew that, that makes her so much more of a fucking predator, in my opinion. Like,
he told me that.
It's disgusting. Like,
for some reason, like, I guess maybe I was thinking from my dad's perspective throughout most of the episode. I'm kind of just being like, yeah, I mean, it's appropriate, but it's not, like, weird, you know? But it wasn't until the end where she, like, fully knows he's never had a girl. She's, like, the look of clarity on her face that she's contextualized this already, that mm-hmm. she's, like, made peace with it already.
Right.
I'm like, okay, no, this changes things. I'm not anybody's first fucking boy.
Right.
16? Like, I understand she might not be, like, whatever, partying all over the place or whatever.
Yeah.
But she's not telling any of her friends that she's making out with a 16-year-old. Yeah. Nobody's being like, girl, and you babysit him? Girl. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just baffling to me. Like, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the writers back then. Like, what
one
is going
on? One of the writers was trying to date somebody young, and he needed this episode to happen.
Right. That was what Woody Allen
He's
did.
Like, this will start a cultural movement all across America. Then the world will all date teenagers.
Rita Mamoon was dating Haley Joel Osment.
When you finally get the cast on the show, they'll say this was their least favorite episode. They were so uncomfortable.
Jerome, you've missed a lot of season two.
Yeah, that's true.
We've been talking about this.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Much.
Like, I have been uncomfortable
and it's just
with
like,
it for a while.
But it just is increasingly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just weird. I don't know if there's much more to say about it. But the fact that, like, Andy responded appropriately at first with extreme anger.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then he got learned about yep. Native American uh-huh. firewalking traditions and decided, you know what, maybe it's okay. Maybe I need to let my son make his own mistakes.
Right.
And,
it's the same thing.
It wasn't a magical Negro this episode. It was like a magical
yes.
Native
yes.
American.
Oh, yes.
God, everyone.
The uh-huh. one thing I will say is that, like, you know, there is something to acknowledging
yes.
that you can't be the one
yes.
to tell your child when
absolutely.
They're at a certain point that they're making a mistake. They mm-hmm. do have to sometimes
right.
and
figure
the
that out.
The lesson is a great lesson.
Especially when it comes
yeah.
to, like, relationships
yes.
and, like, attraction and that sure. those
but
strong
this is,
feelings.
They even say
and,
it. They say it's a felony in the fucking episode.
Well, and
it's
so
absolutely
but he
absurd.
Is not committing a felony.
Eric, when you have a sick, if you fucking let our kid, when
right.
he's 16, fuck a 25-year-old
no,
and then
yeah.
go to jail as a fucking lesson because you're a great parent, I'm gonna kill
well,
you.
Again, no, hold
That's
on.
That's not okay.
You just said what I was like
okay.
half saying is
okay.
that Ephraim wouldn't go to jail. He is not
right.
The
girl
law.
Would.
Yes.
But I'm sure that he probably would have some, right?
Mm-mm.
I wonder.
No, that's the whole point.
Oh,
he's
well,
not
he's
breaking the law.
Right.
She is.
But, like, that still really would fuck up
I
his
understand.
Life.
Yes.
Like,
well,
it really would.
I
everybody
mean,
in Everwood would know. It would be a news story.
Right.
It would
could be a national thing.
Life. It would fuck up his life for, like, 2 years. It'd fuck up her life forever.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
there's not a
this.
Record.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he could go somewhere where nobody knows.
So, and so here's the other part of this that the episode I think that the writing tries to kind of foreground is, like, I guess it's trying to complicate Andy's position
mm-hmm.
by making it clear that something like him, like, he can't stop Ephraim from pursuing
right.
what he's going to pursue.
He
right?
only has so much control.
And he tried to kind of draw the line, and Madison tried her best, I guess,
oh,
to, like,
God, not
to
at
draw
all.
Boundaries, which was.
Well,
well,
oh yeah, no.
And then, but like,
yeah.
so the, but the main,
but
like,
he,
but,
no.
But,
also, wait a second. No, I can't actually let that go because I even wrote it down. Ephraim, you are so gross. Ephraim is disgusting. She rejected his advances at least 15 times in this fucking episode, and he will not fucking
sure,
shut
but,
up.
But he's
gross.
But he's a minor, right? He's a
oh,
minor, so it's her response.
Still, he is
you
a
know.
Boy that is a big boy. He's not a 12-year-old. This isn't a cute thing. He is a grown almost man physically. Wait, you're
but
laughing at my position? At
no,
this
no,
position?
Not at all. I'm,
it's
I just
super
think it's
gross.
Really interesting that in one hand he's like, he's a child, he's a victim, and then like, no, he's
right,
a man
he's
and
a
she's the victim.
Also,
like it's really it's,
also this is what they taught us what love was back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Persist.
Yes. And so you get the person.
That's
to say yes,
people
you know?
Still teach boys that, which is
yeah.
fucking gross.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a problem because it's in so many movies where it's like, you know, persistence can be romantic.
And it's,
it could be romantic, but it depends on the situation.
It's not romantic as a rule.
Yes. exactly. That's not like, it should not be the guidance.
So one thing, I'm laughing because of the inherent, like I feel on the fringes of this, just like a weird grayness that kind of defies the like black and white. Mm-hmm. Like it's just weird. That's why I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm so uncomfortable, but is that like a reaction? Like, I don't
that's
know.
Art. I mean, art man. Yeah. Make you uncomfortable.
Wow. I mean, I'll give this episode a 5 now.
I mean, woo! I don't know if it's the writer's intention, but like I could see it being interesting, like exploring that grayness that everybody feels. Cause
yeah.
It can't be black and white. Like that's not and, how and,
and
people
part
work.
Of the and what I was gonna say is part of the grayness, right, for this character, for the character of Andy, is that he is trying to protect his daughter from more
that's
heartache
true.
And
yes.
more heartbreak after like his daughter is in such a precarious situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
His daughter has found this person who
right.
who she really likes, who cares about her. And so that puts him in a tricky position uh-huh. of like, mm-hmm. well, I can't control my son
mm-hmm.
from feeling how he feels.
Yeah.
I can't like call the police on this young right. woman who is a part of our kind of like our family unit, our house
right.
unit at this
mm-hmm.
point, and it means a lot to my daughter. So it puts him in this position of like, what am I going to do? And is it valid to say that in these very specific localized circumstances of this family, the best thing Andy can do is, I mean, no, I'm just hearing myself say this, and I'm like, no, fire medicine.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah,
Delia will get over
okay,
it.
Okay, so can I have another example that's somewhat similar, but it's not about age. This is probably fine to share. My younger sister, when she was in high school, was dating a boy at the same school who ended up being a thief. He had severe issues to the point where he actually got kicked out of the school. My parents had not wanted Sarah to date this guy forever, but you know, the whole like, no, you can't date this person just turns into them figuring right. out how to date. But the fact was that this kid and his family were not going to be good for Sarah to get uh-huh. involved, for my sister to get involved with. And man, was that fucking hard, because like, I remember Sarah like trying to get me to drive her to see this kid and everything, but like, my parents forbid her. They did make the decision, especially after he got permanently kicked out of school and like he had a knife and stuff like that. Like, he got kicked out of the school. My parents had to be like, no, like hard line, no. Yeah, she was younger, I guess, slightly. I mean, she was probably like 15 when that happened. The kid was also, it was not an older kid. But like, as a parent, sometimes you just have to kind of try to inhibit your kids from hurting themselves. Like, I understand this argument of like, yeah, they'll try to find a way. But you know what? In certain circumstances, I'm not saying like, you know, try to control their lives entirely right. and you let them
like
take risks and stuff. But
like,
but this is real fucked up. He doesn't, man, if I were hiring this woman to babysit my child, like, I understand that Delia went through loss, but like, I don't know if I would feel comfortable with her around Delia anymore. Like,
right.
this lady's like grooming my son. Like, it's real weird. This
she shows more judgment.
Yeah. Like, and didn't yeah, tell him. It's really, really
if she
weird.
She does this poor judgment, and the way she describes it is like, I should think more and feel less or whatever.
Ooh,
like, if she has this kind of poor judgment around your 16-year-old son, like, you know, you start thinking, like, what kind of judgment are you going to practice, like, around
how
my
far
daughter?
Is it,
like,
how long is it until she's giving Delia a wine cooler just to be cool and say
yeah! I mean, yeah!
I mean, like, and that would be great, but then what would the next step be?
We start, Delia's passed out. Like,
yeah. That would be great, but it's a slippery slope. Oh my God. Well, it's interesting. Like, your story, KT, definitely, I mean, it sounds like a kind of a Tommy Callahan situation. And it is like an interesting kind of like, you know, we see Andy trying to like control Ephraim. And we see Harold actually trying to do that, you know, trying to control Amy and who she sees. And I mean, but that's a different situation. Like, Amy's depressed and Harold's being a dick in general about that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah. Harold's just fucking up.
Well,
all
but
the
also,
way.
Like, he was misled too. Like, there was that whole scene with Bright, like, telling the same
shit,
stories about
right.
this guy
yeah.
that we already learned
like,
were
yeah.
not true, or at least completely
right.
true.
Harold
yeah.
should know better than to just, like, listen to his dumb athletic
right.
son.
Yeah. The one who's not going to help him out too much anyway.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
Well, let's sip through. What are some main points here? The line, "You still married to the black man?"
Woo!
What do you think, Jerome? Oh my! Pretty good line, right?
I mean, you know, once again, this is not black man Jerome being Uncle Tom, but she could have called him something else. So.
She could have called him something else. I think that's the definition of an Uncle Tom.
I mean, if this
were on HBO Max initially, would she have?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because, sure. Like, that, I think, like, oh my goodness. I mean, I feel like my mouth was open for like 3 minutes.
Say that word.
Oh my god!
That's what I want.
Oh, like I, man, it was so good. Mm-hmm. It was just so defining of that fucking bitch, Betty White. You know what I mean?
No, it was great.
Like,
she
man,
and her last name is White.
Mm. Yeah. Why didn't we know?
Couldn't get any better.
So good.
Amy asks if she can invite Tommy. Bright tells Harold, like, yeah, he just got a rehab, and he's a dealer and a junkie, and he's kind of an arsonist, too.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I just want to confirm, because it's been months since we've watched this, like, we already know that a lot of that's not true. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, we heard that somewhere.
It's, like, rumor stuff, and, like,
at
he
least
having,
he got to, he like, explains
I think he's the one, who explained to her, like,
right.
You know, so much of that is false. Like, I just, you know, I drank.
Yeah.
And I
okay.
smoked weed. To... I think, but it has been a while for all of us, so I don't know.
Okay.
I think he definitely denies like
the meth
all
stuff
rumors.
Is not true, yeah. At least according to him, and
yeah,
and the
right,
arson
exactly.
and stuff like that,
yeah.
Like the big bad stuff.
But again, we can't. You know, I don't want to go too far down that because again, our episode sponsor for tonight is Crystal Meth,
right?
So
yeah,
highly recommend. Mm-hmm. I know. My ex-boyfriend had a great time with it there for a while. Not Jerome.
Oh, I was like, wait.
another ex-boyfriend right now.
He's sober now. Good job, Joe.
Yay!
Hooray, Joe!
Madison is a crybaby after she burns her hand. Not like Charlie. Charlie's a man. Madison's a girl. She cries. Ephraim yells at Andy after Madison leaves. Delia's like, why do you threaten Madison? Don't you like her? And then she finds out that Ephraim's dating her. She's like, you're dating Madison? Like, with kissing?
Yeah, you know what? I really didn't like that scene. I really hated that whole scene. Because, like...
Oh, why?
Because I didn't hate the exchanges between Ephraim and Dad and whatever. The
Delia?
Problem? No, that was the problem.
You don't like the
this,
Delia stuff?
No. Listen, Delia, the whole issue here. The only reason we could slightly feel bad for this fucking asshole babysitter to get fired is her relationship with Delia, right? And we have been like having this like hinted at so many times in like really heartbreaking ways that Delia is really trying to struggle. Like she lost her friend McGillicuddy or whatever the fuck his name is. She, you know, like she lost her mother. She doesn't have any friends or like lots of these things keep happening.
Yeah,
so this sure. relationship with the babysitter is really important, right? We understand that. This whole scene was just Ephraim and the dad, and Delia had these little lines that were absolutely heartbreaking, and it just ended with the dad and Ephraim, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Ephraim is so disgusting. This is, like, all fucked up, and why are, like, I care about Delia, and she's not getting the attention she deserves, I think, because
she's
the reason we're supposed to actually care, I feel like.
Yeah, and instead we just have these, like, big male egos sort of fixed around, like Andy saying, like, you're not a man. If you were, you'd realize how childish you're being right now. You're hurting Delia.
Yeah, you're hurting Delia. He says it, but she has like two lines of her own, and then they don't even show her later. They don't even show her. And I thought it was going to be, I thought Treat Williams was going to turn around and be like, oh my God, Delia, this is such a complicated situation.
Right.
I'm so sorry. Like
that would have been so much better.
Right. But like, it's so bizarre. I thought Delia was going to be more of a central character, not central maybe, but like, it seems like she's disappeared from this season.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're really doing her dirty like that.
No, that's really good. I think you're absolutely right. And also like, okay. So yes, I think that, you know, for as much as Delia is kind of at the heart of why this is all such an issue.
Yeah.
Like we're not getting enough Delia. And also all of a sudden in this scene at the end, the writers have Ephraim just be like all of a sudden this is about Andy being alone. Like all of a sudden they just have everyone being like, I shouldn't have to be alone just because you are.
Yeah.
And like, it's just so obvious. Like the seams of the writing here are so obvious. Like, like, oh, we also need to move Andy towards Linda. And so let's make Ephraim, who's in the middle of this, like, storyline with a 20-year-old woman. Co-opt a Native American like storyline to like serve this. And two, let's just use this and just have Ephraim be kind of like complaining about how Andy isn't dating somebody.
So what? Is he gonna be like, well, maybe if I start dating somebody, my son will be less mad at me.
It's just bizarre. Yeah. I don't know.
No, but then Delia would look at him with that murderous child face that she did in the Christmas tree.
That was an awesome look. That was incredible.
That was the scariest fucking little kid face since The Grudge.
Vivian Cardone with her dad.
It was totally like a horror movie. It was insane.
That should be in, that could be in my horror trailer.
Yep. A couple horror trailer moments.
And that the Christmas tree, that's your only note, right? There's your only note.
Uncle Bink's
Christmas. It was the best.
You know what? I feel really bad because we did, Uncle Bink's Christmas Tree Loft did email us asking to be a sponsor of tonight's episode.
Yeah.
Crystal Meth just had a lot more money.
I wonder why. Oh, Uncle Bink.
We got some fun Thanksgiving dinners. Harold carving a turkey, the angle on him carving the turkey. In just utter rage. Buddy Pitt's character is so good. The Brown family Thanksgiving dinner. How about that SpongeBob float, Delia? That was a big float.
Yeah.
Also about the turkey, who fights over the white meat?
I like the white meat. A weirdo.
I would fight over the dark meat. You would fight over the white meat.
Yep.
So we're split. Mm-hmm. You guys have to break the tie.
Wishbone.
What turkey meat would you fight over?
Wishbone.
I don't care. I've never felt myself
fighting over turkey meat.
I think the question is just whether you prefer light or dark meat.
Oh, you're translating for us? Okay. I guess I like both.
Great! Moving on!
A great conversation. Harold interrogates Tommy at their Thanksgiving dinner. There's that cool moment where Tommy like grabs Amy's hand like while being interrogated by Harold. There's a shot of Harold like seeing the hand. It's like, trying to take my daughter's hand, are ya?
Oh, yeah. Wait. Who was that?
Hey, Ziggy, you want to come in and talk Everwood?
I don't remember what the hand thing was, but I remember being skeezed out by it.
No.
Or no?
That wasn't skeezy.
Oh, no. That was the good one. That was like it was in his face. Yes, that was so good. I forgot.
Yeah, it was a cool moment. But yeah, there's a big blow up here. Harold yells at Amy. It's incredible like how far they're taking this Harold Amy conflict. Like I honestly forgot that it goes this far, but that Harold is still like yelling at Amy, like, I drove to Wyoming to help you on one of your cries for help.
Yeah.
Put you on your dumb antidepressants. I love Rose's father, Herb, like when Betty White is like, What's happening? He's like, she's on antidepressants and dating a crystal meth junkie.
Yeah.
And Harold, ends up grounding Amy. He's saying, this self-indulgent act of yours is going to stop right now. And we get from Amy just this, like, this diatribe of just utter, like, I don't give a shit. I want to die. I hate you. I hate this family. I hate life.
Can I ask, like, I feel like I was a little lost there because, like, right, he did write the prescription for the antidepressants, right? Are we just supposed to, it's just that they're not working, or did she not get them? Or I don't remember. What is the status
there? We haven't gotten any kind of, like, explicit progression on that storyline.
Okay. Did she get them? Do you know? Yeah. Do we know that? She did fill them out or something?
Yeah, maybe. And I mean, if I'm going off, like, my personal experience with, like, antidepressants, it's probably, like, she hasn't landed with the right kind yet.
Right. No. I was genuinely just trying to remember.
Yeah, no.
Whether we have had any, like, cause I wondered, it was interesting that he talked about the antidepressants and she didn't say they're not working. I didn't know if she had actually tried
that
them
would
yet.
have been, That would have been a good moment to have a line like acknowledging that, because if they're going to build into the season this kind of thread of antidepressants, like that would have been a good opportunity for us to kind of get some more information about, like, well, are you, have you started them? Like,
right.
Even just, like, well, they're not working. Like,
yeah.
People experience that. And that's right. Why, like, the process of, like, getting on the right kind, getting the right dosage, giving it time for the effects to kind of.
I'm just curious, because you, I know you have also, you know, you've watched the show, so you know what's going on, but I'm so curious about whether, like, this storyline is going to go the direction of, like, antidepressants are bad, or is it just not going to become a thing anymore? I don't
remember
where
it goes, frankly. But I know that you're not forgetting any information about, you know, we simply have not heard anything about how her journey with antidepressants has been going.
Okay.
We get some fun Andy and Harold at a bar action, followed by some Andy and Harold at a casino action. Also that Andy can, again, accept letting his son be statutory raped by a 20-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Harold can become a gambling addict.
Oh God!
there's some good stuff at the bar though, where they're talking and Harold's like, "I used to look forward to going home. I used to have Louise cancel my 4:30 so I could get home at the same time as the kids. When did this become preferable?" But yeah, the bar.
There's one. You have to say your joke that you said when it was when we were at the casino and they were playing the. Yeah, you know, it's Celebration. It's called Celebration, but you said it's a reservation.
And then Jerome said, "So stupid."
Yeah.
And he was right. You definitely did.
I hope you did. Jeez.
So Ephra, meanwhile, goes to talk to Madison. It's really
can we? We don't have to go through all the details. It's 11:35, and nobody gives a fuck. They're gross. Like, I think we've explored their stupid relationship enough, right?
Okay, no, but there's the other aspect here. If he brought Delia with him in the car, and Delia's just watching him like, go talk to Madison.
Well, see. Yeah, and that was another moment that made me wonder if Ephraim, like, go back to the point of Ephraim being super gross, because I wondered why she would bring, or he would bring her, because was he going to use her as a token to manipulate her further? That's what grossed me out about that part,
so
too.
Weird, because also, like, when Madison was like, go get your sister, she's, like, probably freezing like an icicle out there in the bar, like, the dumb little goofy grin that Gregory Smith had as Ephraim was like so weird and like just like what is happening? And I really just think the writers like have no idea what they're doing with Delia, and or like why, like they're just kind of like tossing her around like a prop.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's really unfortunate.
Yes.
Why did they wait to season 4 to cancel this show?
Season 1 is perfect, apparently. I've heard.
Season 1's a
masterpiece. So I've heard. Yeah,
Colin dies, and then we have this shit.
Harold's mussy hair after the casino is so sexy.
Was so turned on.
We find out that he spent $7,000 in 2.5 hours.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And then I missed the context, but for Harold's line, like Indians on Thanksgiving, like. What was going on there? Was that racist?
Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah. I didn't hear that. What was it? What
is as
that?
He was getting out of the car after revealing, because he said, I lost $7,000 in 3 hours. And then Andy said it was 2.5, actually. And I think the next line was he was getting out of the car and he said, Indians on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think he said something like, I should have known better.
I should have known better. Indians on Thanksgiving.
I feel like if he had only said Indians on Thanksgiving, that could have actually been okay, because it would have been like, you know, almost like maybe, you know what, they deserve it. Indians on Thanksgiving, they deserve to take my money. But like, that's crazy.
The, like, In the episode I'm editing right now, the first season Thanksgiving episode, he makes a Down syndrome joke.
Ooh.
He's like, I've got like a 2-chromosome minimum or whatever for my doctors.
Oh, yes.
In response to Andy being like, I could be your doctor.
Yeah.
So like, I guess around Thanksgiving, Harold gets really fucking offensive.
Well, last year we didn't actually see the dinner with his mother-in-law. So if the stress was there, we just didn't see it.
Oh, wow. So this retroactively explains his Down syndrome joke and justifies his racist Indian joke. Right. Okay.
Because he's in the mode of saying those things so that Betty White would be like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Andy gets home. Ephraim has made a fire. Andy's, I think you're making a big mistake, but I think I have to let you make it. My concerns about this relationship have nothing to do with you. I'm moving on. Rose,
you could do something. Like, I'm trying to think of what I would do because I have three sons, and if they were trying to date at 16, a 20-year-old person. Uh-huh. I would say, listen, like after fighting and like having multiple discussions and expressing all the concerns and talking it to death, probably, I would say, listen, like I understand having to let go. I understand that you can't actually chain your kid to a bed or whatever, like, you know, and like make them stay in their room. But the fucking reality is you could say something like, but I want you to go to therapy and talk about everything that happens on in this situation to a therapist. Because that way, and you have to be honest, because that way, if something were to happen that's inappropriate or something that's bad, you can tell the therapist. You don't have to tell me. You can tell somebody else. But this is not appropriate, and it is unsafe.
Well, Andy doesn't believe in therapy.
Yeah, right.
Harold doesn't
believe
in antidepressants.
Yeah.
Andy, whenever he goes to a therapist, he ends up trying to fuck her.
Yes.
As we've seen with Jane Krakowski's character.
Uh-huh. I don't know. There's so many this episode. Oh,
also, I don't
God.
Think there I don't think there were therapists in 2004.
Okay. No, oh yes. Weren't. Okay. Cool.
Rose reams out Harold for his gambling. Betty White lays into him too. You're failing this family. If only Rose had married Richard McKenna. And Rose stands up to her mother saying, mother, just shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sweet little moment with Herb coming in too and just being like,
yes.
Fuck you, Betty White.
And, yeah.
And Rose being like, good night, daddy.
Yeah.
He's really sweet.
Yeah.
Madison explains things to Delia. We're going to start over from scratch. And Delia's like, we do that a lot around here.
Yep.
It's almost like meta, like
absolutely.
Like the character's saying, like, yeah, we start over with my character a lot.
Yes.
I don't get a lot of like sustained character development because I'm kind of a prop in a lot of like men's stories.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. Ooh. That has been the biggest disappointment in this season for me, besides this disgusting Ephraim Madison bullshit. The treatment
also the
of Delia
in episode one, the big fat man from the Everwood show. That was
big fat man from that Everwood show. Oh God, that's so funny.
Andy has a little sit down with Madison. I have to ask you something. You
gross.
Remember your first love? So
I do. Weird. It was 70 years ago.
He's just a boy and his heart is wide open, so be careful with it. Harold and Rose at Amy's door. They unlock it. She's not there. Amy has Rapunzeled her way out of her room. We do get the Uncle Banks Christmas tree loft. Andy and Delia run into Linda. We get a lot of coldness from Delia toward Linda, as usual. It's been fun. But we get a moment where Andy, you know, where Linda confesses to Andy, like, no, look, I'm very interested. I liked the roses. I liked the balloons. Like, I'm interested. Like, yeah, I have HIV, but...
let's do it.
Like, it's the problem was never that I wasn't interested. And so then there it starts snowing, and Andy kisses her. And it's very romantic, I guess. But Delia's face, oh my God, is fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's almost like, if there's, like, it almost justifies Delia's treatment as a character in this episode. But at the
just
end,
that she
the
gets
last penultimate moment of the episode is Delia just being like, fuck you, writers. You're making my dad hook up with the HIV positive chick. who he promised me he wouldn't get together with. And you're treating me like a prop. Anyway, and the cliffhanger of the episode is that Amy is missing, and they put out an Amber Alert on her. What do you think happened? Do you think Amy's dead?
Yeah. I hope so.
You hope so. Well, that's the episode. Let's do some ratings.
That's it. Yeah, I hope so. Well, that's it.
Going into it, 5 stars in anticipation because it's been so long and I was ready to get back to Neverwood. While watching, I give it 3 because I felt a lot of discomfort and just like, disappointment in the writers and in the character, like Harold yelling at Amy, still being a piece of shit. And just like, there was some fun stuff here and there, but 3. The Madison Ephraim stuff, I remember liking it back then because I was immature and I didn't understand the full context and implications of that kind of relationship. Now that I have a bit more understanding, it makes me really very uncomfortable. Afterwards, 5 stars. Thank you.
Because I love statutory rape.
Because I thought about
during our discussion.
I realized the discussion that it's all good. No, I'll give it 3 stars afterwards too.
As long as someone comes, it's got to be fine.
Oh God, Eric! Shut up.
Hey, that was Adam's rating, not mine.
I've spoiled this before, and I'll spoil it again. We are going to see Ephraim prematurely ejaculate. Oh, yeah.
We're gonna
Jerome
see it.
Just got happy.
We're gonna see it.
He popped up. What?
Now that I'm remembering that he's 16, I'm like, no, I don't need to see that.
Yeah,
Our ratings were 4 going into it, and then 3 while watching it, and then I'd go back to. I'll stay at a 3 just because of the discussion. The discussion was a good one.
4-3-3. Rome.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right, because Eric's are just going to be joke ones. So going into it was definitely a 5 because I was so excited to watch Everwood again. It's been so long. And then I found out that Jerome was going to be here, so I was even more excited. So definitely 5. Watching, this has got to be... Like, I feel like if it gets worse than this for me, that's going to be bad. So this got to be a 1 for me for watching. I was uncomfortable the whole time. Dr. Abbott, who is the best guy, was just stupid again. And it's annoying that he's like dumb about antidepressants. Treat Williams was being real weird. Delia is a fucking prop. Garbage episode 1. Afterwards, I love talking about this. But, like, does it bring it up? This episode sucked, Adam. Why are you making me watch this show?
Is there something about, like, kind of like, I think Eric was alluding to it earlier. Like, hey, it, like, caused a conversation. And maybe it caused similar conversations that forced kind of, you know, in families, you know, Jerome watched it with his mom as a kid, you know, back then. Like, could it have led to like some really important, healthy conversations about consent and communication and honesty and like age dynamics? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, it, you know, it forced us to contend with some weird, contradicting feelings, discomforts, and like grayness. But also, there's a black and white factor. Like, I don't know.
This is so cute, Adam. Because here's the thing: whenever I have a negative review about this show, you try to justify, and it's not bad at all. It's very cute. You just sat there and you were so earnest into trying to defend this shithole of an episode, like. And you know, Adam, that being angry and critical is my thing. So, like, shut up. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, I just mean you know that I actually still really like the show. Like, that my criticism, I'm being more harsh, that I still understand that it's from 2003. But if it gets worse than this episode, I'm still going to say, one, like, this has got to be the bottom, right? Like, it's got to go up from here. Everything about it was stupid. But afterwards, like, genuinely, I would literally even give it a 5 just because of the conversation, but I can't because what the fuck, guys? What the fuck? I will bring it up to a 3. I absolutely respect it as a piece of art that made us talk.
That's very sweet.
But it is very gross.
It is gross. Yeah, for sure.
It's so I physically felt uncomfortable, right? Yeah. I'm not the only one, though. I know,
absolutely.
So many times I was like, ugh.
All right, get ready for the joke ratings.
All right, everyone. So, in preparation or in advance or whatever it is, like, yes. So,
preparation.
Look, it could, for me, I see it as sitting as, like, normally, like, if I had the freedom to say this, I would say a 4.5, but I don't give half-star ratings, so I have to round up to a 5, but the slight dip in that is that I wasn't sure if I would remember how to watch or talk about everyone. Because it's been so long. All right. While watching, 4 stars.
What?
First of all, we've already established that I'm not as just completely turned off by this storyline as you
both
are.
What? You're turned on by the storyline? Wait, Eric, you're turned on by the storyline?
Listen.
Stop it! If you say a joke that is inappropriate.
All I can say is that I was
turned on.
Compelled.
Okay.
Throughout my entire watching of the show.
Ew.
I wasn't bored. I wasn't bored. I wanted to see what happened next. I was watching all the scenes. I enjoyed myself while watching this. I talked about like how I felt like I was sitting on a couch between the hours of 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. There were commercials in between. Like, I don't know. It felt like...
Oh, yeah. Like a time capsule.
I was in that time. Yeah. But I was in it, like, it was in a good way, like, not in the way that, like, you would show up and watch Full House and, like, it's fucking just pap, you know? It
pap?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Pap,
like a pap smear?
Like,
what the fuck?
No, like pap, like...
Guys,
like,
what?
Like, just, like, nothing, like eating
like
cotton candy.
Like, gotta sell some pap.
Oh, some papes. Oh, papes. Papes?
Anyway,
what the fuck is pap? No, genuinely.
No, pap. Like, what? Now I'm going to have to Google fucking pap. It means
Adam
like...
should
like,
know it.
Like, nothing.
He uses words that I don't know a lot of times.
All right.
Something lacking substance or solid value.
Something
or substance.
Shaped like a nipple, it says.
Here. Definition 3, something lacking solid value or substance. Like, so it's just like throwaway, like, junk. Like, it doesn't... The show doesn't feel like that to me. It feels like something I want to see and that I want to hear the next scene. I want to know what happens next. Pap. Yeah. It's not pap, is what I'm saying.
A soft food as for infants?
Stop it, Casey. All right, it's not pap. So I really like Eric sticking to his guns with like, saying, I like it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Cool. Exactly.
I agree.
Like,
I understand.
It might make you feel uncomfortable, but I think that's part of what it's trying to do. Like, it's trying
to...
Not necessarily
in this
case. It's trying to make you feel uncomfortable, but, like...
You're giving it way too much credit.
Just like always, like, throughout this whole thing, it's, like, exploring these different ideas. And, like, you guys have been tired of the Madison Ephraim thing since it started.
You know what? It depends on how it is explored. If it is explored in a good way, like, not like the antidepressant thing, I will be intrigued.
In this instance,
be a possibility.
The interesting thing that it hadn't really explored was a parent's role in this kind of a relationship. Like, that's new. That's something. We got to this, it had been a little retready. At certain points in this.
And to have Andy suddenly, like,
be
like
a
Andy
part
now
of it.
Knows about it.
Exactly.
I wanted
to see how that played out.
Yeah.
And so watching it, I have to give it 4 stars.
Okay.
Afterwards, I was going to say 4 again, but you crossed your arms too many times at me, so I'm going to get a 5. I feel even better at it in spite of how you felt about this episode.
Oh, that's incredible.
Did you see what he did to my face? Uh-huh. He just, like, did this weird okay sign at my nose.
The key.
Those are some really good joke ratings, Eric. That's
Thank you.
Really-
yeah.
Yeah, I know. It was just hilarious.
It was
okay, so that
good.
Was a 5.33 from me, a 4.34 from Jerome.
Oh, probably 4.33.
I think it was 4.33.
Yeah, I think it's a 4.33. A 5-1-3 from KT, and a 5-4-5 from Eric.
Nailed it.
Wild. And speaking of time capsules, parsley, sage, rosemary, TV time. We got four comments. 3 years ago, TV Time user Angel Peguero wrote heart heart with the picture of Madison with the caption, "I guess maybe I should think more and feel less." Thanks, Angel. I'm going to go in reverse. I'm not going to go in perfect reverse chronological order.
What?
I'm going to save one for, I'm going to save one from 8 months ago for last.
Okay.
5 months ago, TV Time user Julie, G-I-U-L-Y, wrote, "Why the hell Bright talked to Harold about Amy's new guy?"
Yeah.
Good question, Julie. I like that. "Why the hell Bright talked to Harold about Amy's new guy?"
Yeah.
1 month ago, Deb Kidd, D-E-B-K-Y-D-D, mm-hmm. wrote, "Where is Nina? 3 question marks.
Yeah. Yes.
Great question, because I do. Oh my God. I cannot wait until Nina finds out about the Ephraim and Madison thing, because I wonder how Nina will feel Ooh. About it and what Nina will tell Andy.
Whoa. Yeah.
That would be awesome, because I can't imagine that if and when that happens, that Andy will be that way and Nina will be like, yeah, smart move.
Yeah.
Like, that would not be dramatically interesting. So I'm sure Nina would be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, Andy's going to be like, you didn't even know your husband was gay. So.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. And 8 months ago.
Yeah.
I needed there to be at least one. This is one comment. 8 months ago, TV Time user Kara Thrace wrote, "Why does every TV show need an adult dating a teenager storyline? It's disgusting."
There we go.
I like your comment. I was expecting more in the comments, but like...
There's 7. You only see 3.
Yeah, this happens all the time. Like, I think some comments get deleted or something.
Shade.
And one anyway. Of them we wouldn't have even seen if we recorded this a week after we did our last
That's
one.
That's true. One of those. That's a really good point. This has been... Parsley, sage, rosemary, TV time. Oh, I usually start out for the first rendition of like, "Are you going to date your babysitter?" I'll go back and edit that in.
Perfect.
I think that's all of our segments, because we did treat tweets at the beginning. This has been Never Would, Never Wouldn't. We are getting back into the swing of things. I'm being real awkward, trying to decide between Indians or Native Americans, trying to decide if it's okay or not okay for a 16-year-old to date a 20-year-old. It's awkward. And then
and we're all waiting for Adam's decision on this, everyone. Aren't you waiting? We all want to know what Adam Lover has to say about these issues.
Okay. This is my conclusion. I think it's okay for a 16-year-old Indian to date a 20-year-old Native American.
That's perfect. Great.
But I don't think it's okay for a 16-year-old Native American to date a 20-year-old Jew.
Okay.
Hanukkah wrapping paper.
Yeah.
Perfect way to tie this episode up.
did you miss doing the podcast, Jerome?
Nope.
I missed the air conditioning being on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you miss us being boyfriends?
We're just silently... peering into this window in
here
the...
let's mute ourselves.
Yeah, we're not here. We're not even here.
Tune in next week for the answer to that question. Oh, we're best buds now. We're bros.
We're bros.
We're buds with bros.
Okay.
They can't hear you.
Okay.
So we can make jokes about our dissolved relationship.
We're bros.
Oh my God, it's so hot.
It's so hot. I'm the AC, and we're going to do the theme song with the AC on, so sorry, everybody.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Who cares how it affects my voice?
We're muted again, but for good reason.
All of us together, okay? Are you tweaking Eric's nipple?
Twerking. That's my nipple.
Okay. You.
It's a curly girl nipple.
You sing with a string.
Uh huh.
Like always.
Do 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 do.
Only Jerome.
Do 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 do.
Oh my God! No, we didn't do episode predictions.
That was, that was close.
It was so close. We were almost fucked. We got it. We had it's one amazing. Last note. Okay.
Episode 11 is called Family Dynamics.
This is the Everwood episode version of the movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger gets pregnant. Ephraim gets pregnant with Madison's baby. Okay.
Wow.
Because Madison premature ejaculates in Ephraim.
What?
Okay. All right. Any predictions, KT?
Maybe just because they're dating now and we have to fucking suffer through more of this shit. It's like trying to navigate this dating stuff with family. She's still the fucking babysitter. I hate the show now. I'm so mad that's my prediction.
Two really bad episode titles in a row. Yeah. Unhappy Holidays, Family Dynamics. It's it's a TV show on the WB. It's about family dynamics.
Uh-huh. I know, right? Like, what family have we not explored yet? That's why I'm like maybe... Like
the episode after that one Uncle is
Bink.
Called...
Uncle Bink!
Yay! Uncle Bink's Family
Uncle
Bink Dynamics!
Is an uncle. The episode after that is called Conflict.
I'm getting lazy.
All right, let's get back to the song.
Yep, here we go. It's just one last note.
Do.
It's midnight.
I ended just at midnight. Ted Lasso. Amazing.